Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered in this morning. I trust you've been having a worship experience in your heart. I'm going to take a little bit of a, I appreciate the devotions as well as we think about thoughts. I know I can be up here preaching, and I know that your thoughts can be a long ways away. And I'm going to strive to keep your thoughts in here and on what I'm going to be sharing this morning. But a little challenge. What was the first song that we sang? Does anybody know the song number? Number 15. Well, there was a phrase in that song that stood out to me, and I wasn't going to bring it in, but I'm going to now. To every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You get the picture of God just handing out, there's mercy here, there's pardon here for your sin. It's handed out there. Are you going to take care of it? Are you going to... That's where we are. We serve a God that is holding it out for us. Do we truly believe? So it's a challenge for us to do that, to reach out and accept that. I also was challenged or thought about that song as the children were singing it, about cast your nets on the other side. And no, I don't think there's more fish on one side of the boat than the other side. I think it was a step of faith. That's what God wants to do. And He was working in the lives of those men. It's a step of faith. From one side of the boat to the other, did they have the faith to do it? Maybe that one side is the one that they always fished out of. I don't know. Maybe that's where the nets were. Maybe there was a lot of work to drag the nets to this side and throw it out. But what are you going to do when God asks you to step out in faith and do something? All right, that maybe ties into my thought pattern because of what my message is this morning. This morning for a message, you can turn in your Bibles to Acts. The book of Acts, and we want to go to Acts chapter 27, and we have Paul and a bunch of other prisoners on a boat. Paul is going to Rome. We know the account very well, but Paul is going to Rome. He's going there to be tried. It's the wrong time of year to travel as they are. But they want to get there. I entitled the message this morning, Disaster Strikes, Ship is Lost. I maybe should add on to it. On the back of that, I pondered it, adding on to the back of that title, All Are Saved. And if you do it in your notes, I like to tell you to put it in some other, maybe parentheses or something, but because they were all saved physically, but I don't believe everyone on that ship was saved spiritually. Okay? So that's why I stopped from putting it in my notes as that. But a disaster strikes, ship is lost. We know that account there. And we're going to read it here this morning. But a little springboard for this message. We're going to talk a lot, or I'm going to preach a lot on protection this morning. And we're going to look at this account and how God protected these people on this ship. We're going to think about that. But my mind, as I pondered this and took this account, my mind went back to children. This week there was a time when there was a big dog that comes up to children. And the dog is bigger than the child. There, hanging over you, or maybe worse as you think of a little child and a big dog. And if there was a grizzly bear hanging over you that was alive, Even if somebody said it was a tame one, I think I'd be running. Or I'd want some other protection. Because we know the danger that they can pose to us. But children run to parents for protection. Why? Because a young child feels that there's nothing their parents can do wrong. Their parents can do anything. It looks like it from their perspective. They run to their father because he's strong enough to deal. He's strong enough to give protection from anything. Well, we know later on in life that changes. It's pretty obvious that father is no longer able to protect from anything. But the challenge is, as I look at my own life, there can be a missing link in there somewhere. You see, we serve a Father in heaven that cares about us. He wants to protect us from things. Where do we run to? Okay, you can go back to 9/11, and you can go back to how the churches were full of praying people. And that was good. People still knew where to go to for somebody that was bigger than the problem. But I think that's getting less and less in our world today. So when the trials in life get bigger than what we are as people, where are we going to go to? You see, sometimes we as human individuals, in talking personally from my own life, it feels like we got life where we can handle it all. And we forget that we can't handle life at all. God gives us trials in life. What are we going to do with them? Let's read this account, Acts chapter 27. This is a fairly long account, fairly long reading. Let's read it. Acts chapter 27. And when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one of Articus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And on the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Sidus, the wind was not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereto was the city of Lazia. And there, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now I want to just stop and just to get in our mind a little bit. We know the account. These are sailboats. These are boats that are not driven by nuclear power. They're not boats that are driven by big rudders out the back and big propellers out the back. It's not that way. They're relying on wind. And when wind, well, yesterday and today, I saw it this morning at my desk again, and it's got wind out there. If you were running a sailboat, you could go somewhere. But when you are running a sailboat and there's no wind, you sit on the water. And so that's where they found themselves here, is that there was a... It's treacherous because there's a lot of storms like to come up at this time of the year. And so they had to deal with that. Verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, it's a nice wind, sailboat weather. The south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose it against it a tempestuous wind called Enrichodon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They just left it go, or let it do its thing. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when we had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And I believe in that verse 19, that's the prisoners, that's Paul. We cast with our own hands. It's getting dangerous. Let's get the prisoners up here. Let's get more out. They ready to put the bands about the boat. They put ropes or something around to try to hold it together. And they're throwing stuff out to get it to sit higher in the water. Because it's the waves are so big. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as they were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, we cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Why? So they could see. What is here? And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under collar as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea, the very thing that they're running to make money on. They cast it out into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Can you put yourself in that ship experience there? It's windy. There's big waves. Maybe seasick passengers, I don't know. Take me out in a rolling storm like this, I would be. But here they are. And so when they see this little creek, let's make for it. It's our hope to be saved. Now you can stand and let's read a couple verses in chapter 28. So stand as I read these first six verses. They are safe at land. They're there. They have swum in. They're there safely. In verse 1, chapter 28, verse 1, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet he vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked where he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Don't fall down, you may be seated. Okay? As he was there in the fire, he threw the sticks on. It's raining. It's cold. They need a fire. He threw it on and this snake comes out. I don't like snakes. Okay? But Paul shook it off into the fire. I don't know what went through Paul's mind, but as I come through this account, Paul has the confidence that you are going to go to Rome. You're going to go to Rome. You're going to be there. Remember I said about that, about the disciples in that throwing the net on the other side? It took faith. It took the faith to, I think that was the step they needed to move over. Was there more fish on that side? Well, they caught more. But it was a miracle from God. God was trying Paul, and he's saying, "Here is a test for you to go through, Paul. It seems like all hope is going to be..." These are, it even says in chapter 27, that the sailors, the men that are used to being at sea, thought that all was lost. And Paul had to rely. And as he had this serpent come out then, I think it, in his mind was, "I'm still going to be there." And so Paul had a relationship with the Lord. And so it made him in relation as he faced these trials in his life. There was protection that he had because he was serving a God that was bigger than any trouble that came his way. I'd like to look at three times in this account where protection happened in the life of Paul here. And so as we go through this, let's ponder in our own lives. Where am I at? How big is my God? Am I running to the Father when trials are there? Do I realize the protection He can give to me? Let's go to the first one. The protection in the storm. There was a storm happening in chapter 27, verse 14 to 41 there as we read that. There's a storm happening. Who created the storm? We could go to accounts of when the disciples were out on the sea there, and Jesus came walking across there, and we just read it in family devotions not long ago how Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me step out." And Jesus said, "Come." And it was fine until he started seeing the waves and realized the fear of the waves that took his faith in Jesus away. And he started to sink. And he reached out to Jesus again, and Jesus saved him in that. But what about our storms today? And this storm here, the crew has struggled all it can to keep the ship afloat. They lighten the ship. Everyone was working towards saving the ship and their lives in it, because the ship was their source of protection at that time. It was what kept them out of the water. And Paul was there And he had someone else with him. He had someone close to him in life. Verse 22.
There stood by me this night the angel of God.
Was it something that was unnatural for him? No. Whom I am and who I serve. So there we have it. Paul had a relationship with the Lord. And he had this word from the Lord. As the angel was talking to him. Remember at the start of this account, Paul was not in charge. He tried to say tell them that it was not a good thing to do what they're doing. But the centurion would listen. At this point in the storm, his word from the Lord changed the situation. Now people are ready to listen. Now people are ready to hear. And he is in command of the situation. He is the one that people listen to. Even when it said that lifeboat over there, Paul makes a statement, if anybody escapes in this, they're not going to make it. That's what that's for. That's a lifeboat. But their faith or their trust in Paul and his relationship to the God he served has come to great extents, and they realize that there is somebody greater that is watching over and caring for them. And it was so much that they cut those ropes. We're going to cut any ties. We're not just going to pull it back into the ship so that we have it for later. No. Cut the ropes. Get rid of it. No chance of that way. We're listening to Paul. We're listening to his command from his Lord as he has protection in this situation we're in the storm. How about us today? Our Lord has also promised to be with us in the situation, in the storms of life. You may say, what for storms do I have? Or maybe you're facing a real storm or a real big storm in your life. I don't know your lives. But I know my own life. Sometimes there is those big storms, those big trials that come our way that we need to call on God for protection in. There's other times when it's those little winds that turn out to be so many coming our way that it's a big storm. Whatever challenges you, there is many things in life that you're going to have to deal with. There's a lot of challenges that can come your way. There's a lot of storms in life. Do you have the confidence in your life that God is with you? You see, it starts there. Protection in the storm says that we need to know before we get in the storm that God is there. Mentioned before, but my mind goes to 9/11 again, and that the fact of how the church is filled up. Why? Because there was uncertainty. There was uncertainty in life, and people turned to that and turned to prayer for it. You take why does our churches like to go on disaster services? It's a time when people are open. They've come to the end of themselves. They're open to gospel. Where other times maybe a closed door. Why? God talked to them mightily through those things, and he protected them through it. And he can. It's an area that we can turn them real quickly to God and to his protection. What about storms of thought life? What you think?
You see, that could, those are some storms that you can have in your life and people don't know about.
What about the storms of struggling for victory in your life? What about storms
of mental health?
What about the storms of relationships?
There are real storms in our life.
Where are you going to turn for protection? Can we turn to Paul's God and the one that we serve,
God, the great God of heaven? Can we turn to Him? Do we have that relationship with Him? Are we close to Him? Or are we one of those that, you see, there's an aspect that
a little child, I go back to that, a little child knows who to run to because they've learned to trust them.
Children don't run to somebody they don't know, a lot of times anyhow.
Do you know your Father, God of heaven? Do you know Him? Is He personal to you? When you walk in the storms of life, can you grasp hold of the promises that He will give you protection? Let's go to the second time that Paul was protected. He was protected from the soldiers in verse 42. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. If you study into history, hauling Roman prisoners, you come into a place where there's a chance that they're going to escape, you kill them. Because this is a Roman prisoner. And people don't get away from Romans. That's what history says.
Prime time for prisoners to escape. In the middle of a storm. Everybody's fighting for their own life.
And so when the soldiers' council was to kill the prisoners, it was nothing unusual.
Even if you're still innocent until proven guilty. You're a prisoner, you don't get away. But the centurion, willing to save Paul. Was God involved in this? He sure was.
Can we see God's protection sometimes in our brothers and sisters, those concerned about us? Can we see God's protection that He gives to us as we are a group of believers pulling together?
We don't know what the future holds. Think with me back.
Paul was a prisoner being taken to Rome for the gospel. We can go back. On my bookshelf, I have the Martyr's Mirror. You can go back and read. People that gave their life for God. And so we look at the future and we don't know what's going to come.
Those in the Martyr's Mirror, if they have had it availed themselves, which I believe everyone in there, from what I know of reading in it, had given their lives to God and they died for their faith. And
where's the protection in that? Well, there is. If we're not protected here in this life, if we have our faith in God as we ought to, we can be assured that we're protected in eternity, that we will go there.
The second subpoint underneath this protection from the soldiers I want to think about is how
one man's life, as it touched that centurion and his faith touched that centurion, it didn't just save Paul's life,
but it saved the lives of all the rest of the prisoners.
God has often spared or blessed many
by a faithful someone.
In the Bible, we have Abraham pleading for Sodom Because Lot was there. God gave Lot protection. He brought him out, sent angels and brought him out. We could read that account in Genesis 18. Or we could go into Genesis 26, and as we have Isaac, and he's digging wells, and people, they keep coming and claiming them. He moves on, and he moves on. God had a promise for him, a promise of protection and blessing to him for moving on and being a peacemaker. Joseph, you read the account there, Pharaoh's house was blessed because Joseph was there. He was in charge. Let's turn to the last one. 2 Kings 8, verse 19. There's a number of accounts where we could pull this, and I should have just wrote this down in my notes, but I didn't. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 19. This is an account here. David is gone from the kingdom. He is no longer king. I believe at this time he would have died. Yeah, I'm sure of that. And so he is no longer king, but look with me. 2 Kings 8, verse 19. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him always a light into his children. You notice it? David's long gone. And here's God saying, I'll give you protection because of what David did. Where do I want to go with that? What are you doing in the lives of your children? Where are you steering them? What are you doing with the lives of your fellow brothers and sisters in the church? Are you leaving a legacy? Are you leaving a legacy of protection for them? Or are you leaving a legacy that's open to the storms that the devil wants to bring in? America may be spared because of a few righteous people. Think about the account of Abraham pleading for Sodom. I believe there's more than a few. Don't get me wrong. This preacher says there's only a few righteous people. That's not what I'm saying. But when you look at the millions about us, and how many are lost, the few righteous people. You understand what I'm saying? So the question comes to us, how faithful am I in praying for our government and its leaders? How much salt am I to this country? Matthew 5:13 says about, ye are the salt of the earth. We're that salt. We're that preserving effect. What for salt am I today? Am I the salt that that if the centurion looked at me, would he say, let's spare them? When God looks down from heaven and he sees my life and your life, does he see salt? Does he see us as a preserving effect on this land we live in? Is my life that I'm living having a preserving effect on the world around me? Let's go to the third one. Third protection that we see the life of Paul. Protection from the serpent. We're going to go into chapter 28, first six verses there. God had showed his protection from the supernatural storm. It was a storm that was blowing down on them, and it was sure they're going to lose their lives. We're saved from that. We're no longer seasick. We're standing on land. We finally got firm footing underneath us. I don't know how many of you have ever been sick, but I know that feeling very well. I can't help but think that there was people that experienced that in this account. So thankful of God's protection. And here, it's raining. We're gathered around this fire.
It would have been easy to forget that we still need protection. Because man says, okay, I'm out of that. I'm long past 9/11. We can handle this again. I'm past that storm in life. I can handle it. Really? Paul didn't fall away from that. He still knew his God that was protecting him. And as he was carrying that load of firewood and he dumped it on there, there's a serpent came out. Serpent, a symbol of the devil, came out and fastened itself on his hand. And Paul realized that he still had a protector, God, that was with him. Well, we know how the people around him felt about it. If it happened to us, I don't think I would react any different than what those people around there. And that is that this is a poisonous snake. I'm going to die from it. But Paul had a relationship, and it's a challenge to my life. Can I be so close to God that even when, if I got COVID, see, that was the last, or maybe the Delta strain is the last scare that comes our way. You know, it's something that we, if God takes me that way, can I be okay with it? If He's done with me on this earth, it's a challenge to us. Paul was bitten by a snake that was poisonous, and he just shook it off, and he realized that God had promised him, and he's going to walk with God. It made an impression on those about him. The protection that God gave to him from that serpent bite. So how does it apply to us today? As believers, we have a guarantee of God's protection in our lives. God protects us from the serpent, the devil. He gives us protection. It's there for us. We can reach out and claim it. But we often fall from our own lusts, our own enticement. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear." There's protection there in place. Think with me on the life of Job. God placed that hedge around Job. And Satan wanted through that. And God left Satan through to tempt Job. But it wasn't above what Job could bear. He came through victorious at the end, even when everyone was against him. As believers, we have guaranteed of God's protection as well. 1 John 4, verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." What must we do in this protection? Let's turn to Matthew 7. I wasn't sure if we're going to turn here or not, just for sake of time, but we're going to turn here. Matthew 7. We may not get all these points that I have here for this one. Matthew 7, verse 7. Let's read actually verse 7 to 11. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" We must believe in our protection that God is going to answer prayer. It may not be our protection from the storm, may not be what we think it's going to be. But God cares for us.
Take it to Him in prayer. It's where we need to turn in times of trial. Any trial in our life, not just the big ones. Have that relationship with the Father. Come close to Him. Grow close to Him in your daily life. Matthew 28. Let's go to the next one. We have the Great Commission here. Let's read verse 19. We wouldn't have to. Well, verse 18 says about how God is all powerful. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You think about that in your daily life. God is with us always, even unto the end of the world, if we are relying on Him, if we're close to Him for our protection. Let's go to Revelation 22, verse 12. Last scripture I have. Let's go to that one. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. God's coming quickly. He's coming back someday for us. And we believe that time is short. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. We must realize that God has a promise for us. As He gives us protection in our daily lives, but if we're faithful and if we stay close to the Father, He has a reward for us, a reward for faithfully serving Him, a reward for faithfully staying close to the Father. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. We must believe God promises reward for faithful service. In conclusion, there's no place as safe for you and I as in the perfect place God has for you. We are not going through this life without means of protection. God is there to protect us. And He will protect us until our work on earth is done. And after our work on earth is done, heaven awaits. Or hell awaits. We're faced with a choice. If you are serving Christ, if He is your protector today, and you are walking close to Him, and your life is in tune with Him, we are winners either way, whether we live or whether we die. May God help us to remain close to Him in our daily lives. Surrender to God and let Him have His way in your life. Your reward, your protection will endure forever. Let's kneel for prayer.